by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Tivoli Talk, Tivoli Security Weekly Prospecting Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. John Canny. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry we're starting a little late. I certainly had finger problems this morning, so once again, welcome to our second prospecting call. As you know, these are very important. We expect everyone to be on these calls and everyone to take away from these calls an action to basically take the call to their existing customer set. So in terms of questions and answers, everyone ping me if you have a question. I will record the questions, consolidate them, and ask the team the questions. So same as last week. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce Ray, who's going to run through the slide chart. You should all have the charts. I sent them out last night. Once again, my apologies for the quick change of subject matter. We had a speaker challenge, so we're focused on Federated ESB this morning. So I'll hand over to Ray now.
Good morning, and my name is Ray Newcomb, and for those who I haven't met, I work with Bob Kalka's team on the Worldwide Technical Enablement, specializing obviously in SOA and Federated Technologies. So if you want to open the slide deck up into screen show mode and look at slide two, move to slide two, just a quick agenda. What I'll do is I'll just introduce a couple of the key concepts around service-oriented architecture, a couple of the buzzwords, talk a bit about the challenges for customers, especially around identity in that space, and then also talk through a couple of recent customer examples, many of which are in Europe, and then give you some tips from our experience on, you know, who to call and some topics to discuss in prospecting and a couple of objections we've seen in the past and ways that have been successfully handled. So let's move on. Let's get going because it's 1:40 in the morning here. So if we move on to slide three, the service-oriented architecture, right? You've heard a lot about it, and the key things you need to take away from, I think, from the discussions around what SOA is, really is that it's a very, very much a business-driven initiative. I think the current stats are about 63% of the SOA projects are actually driven by lines of business, not IT or technical folk. And the reason business is really trying to, you know, push IT into developing a more flexible architecture really is that they need to be able to, you know, restructure their business so that their business processes are far more agile and able to change and, you know, compete in a, you know, fairly competitive market. So SOA is really, you know, the IT response to being able to be more flexible, more responsive to the business. And one of the key things that's different about SOA to a lot of the previous architectural approaches, you know, we've seen like Cobra and DCE and a couple other later precursors to SOA, really is that SOA is very much focused on reusing stuff that's there. So it's not throw everything out and start from a clean sheet of paper. They've kind of come to the practical realization that, you know, no company's going to do that. So SOA is very much on breaking up some of these larger applications into smaller pieces and, you know, allowing them to be connected together in more flexible ways. So, you know, focus very much on reuse, and also what ends up happening is that we end up a lot of connecting a lot of domains and resources that grew up quite independently. And then finally, another aspect of SOA, why is SOA viable today where it wasn't, say, 5 years ago? And really the maturity of the open standards in this space really is the answer. There's, you know, in some places you've got competing open standards, so there's plenty of activity going on to develop them. So those in slideshow, if you press enter, we'll see that really this reuse, connecting isolated domains, trying to make things agile, all help drive this demand for identity middleware. And help drive the demand to move some of this identity logic out of application code and more into the infrastructure code, which is good news for us. It's something we can sell. So if we move on to slide four, just the concept of an enterprise service bus. This is really at the heart of SOA, and this is one of the ways they achieve the level of flexibility they're looking for. And really, this enterprise service bus, think of it more like it's like a hardware bus. You know, it's very similar in concept to a hardware bus. It kind of dreams of being a hardware bus when it grows up. And the idea is that I can plug in services from different technologies, different standards, plug them into the enterprise service bus, and each and one service can actually, you know, find the other services, work out how to call them and use them. One example might be you might have some existing application that's maybe EDI enabled or you know, some other standard way of some other proprietary way possibly of accessing it. And you want to be able to access it now from something more based on, say, web services. Then you want to be able to plug the, you know, EDI enabled thing into the bus, some new web services clients into the bus, and have the bus deal with all of the mismatch. Have the bus convert between data formats, between different protocols, transform the messages. So really the bus is kind of fixing the impedance mismatch between the two pieces, taking all that logic out of the code. So if we move on to slide 5, one of the issues that the buses don't address directly, and a lot of SOAR architects don't have on their to-do list when they start the project, but they soon do once they get into it, really is the topic of identity and how they're going to flow identity across these domains. So we talked about reusing existing assets. So some of those assets may have been written in 1960 on the mainframe, and some of those assets may have been written last week, you know, with RESTful web services, right? So we need to be able to flow identity across those domains using this constraint of the underlying technologies, because how you pass identity to, you know, a mainframe is quite different to how Microsoft.NET wants to see identity. Also, it's unlikely that you know, all these different domains and different applications actually share the same concept of identity. So, you know, there is some challenges in how we're going to flow identity across those domains. The typical application response in the past may have been to crack open the code and just code a whole bunch of logic in there to deal with this. The result of this really is if they keep pursuing this path, then they're really not going to deliver the value to the business that the business is paying, you know, many millions of dollars for these SOAR projects. So in order to be able to get the flexibility they need, then identity needs to be able to be handled in the middleware and handled transparently to the apps. And this little side note, if you look at the gears on the little diagram there and try to work out how they're going to actually turn, then maybe you can play with something that in the next presentation. So, and finally, there's some compliance challenges around separation of duties between the developers and the secure administrators. And, of course, we want to strengthen audit and business controls. So, you know, the enterprise service bus as it stands out of the box needs to really be augmented to address these challenges. The main ones being to be able to flow identity freely and fix identity on the way, the same way that it fixes data formats and protocols today. So if we move to slide 6, and there's an interesting quote from Gartner here, says that 80% of large corporations will have ESBs or similar solar infrastructure from 3 or more vendors by 2009. And in fact, you can see that IBM has 3 enterprise service bus offerings of its own. You know, each targeted at different use cases or, you know, usage profiles. So there's nothing, you know, enterprise service buses, there's nothing special about them that means there's going to be one in an enterprise. I mean, not any large company you deal with today, no one's going to have only WebSphere or only Microsoft products. Most companies are going to have some mix of different vendors' products. And going forward, every company's going to have some mix of enterprise service bus offerings. Some may only be used by a very small subset of applications, some may be the backbone of the company. So if we want to be able to deliver the value of this enterprise service bus, then the approach that IBM's had to look at, somewhat in response to competitive pressure, because initially the competitors were saying that we had 3 offerings and that was a weakness. IBM's now managed to turn that a lot around, and people like Gartner have come to realize that, you know, multiple offerings is a way of life. And if you press enter, then you can see that IBM's kind of presenting the picture that there's really a meta infrastructure around this enterprise service bus, cloud or collection of them, to actually deliver the value. And one of the key pieces in this cloud will be service security management. More importantly, identity management. I need to be able to configure identity and have identity flow across this cloud, all the different pieces and technologies and vendors, and make all that work through some sort of consistent identity and security management interface. We press enter again, we can see service management is another piece of this cloud, this infrastructure that needs to happen. I need to be able to manage service level agreements, performance monitoring, availability across the entire set of multi-vendor transactions, multi-vendor pieces, because my, you know, my business processes, my transactions can actually flow across different vendors' products and across different domains for a single transaction. And then finally, pressing in, we see policy management. Excuse me. And the security side of policy management is being addressed by a new product that you'll be hearing a lot more of. You've probably already seen an announcement for it, for Tivoli Security Policy Manager. So really, Tivoli's goal really is this meta infrastructure around, pardon me, the enterprise service bus offerings, both from IBM and from competitors. And finally, pressing in around six, you can see that the term that's been used for this environment is really a federated enterprise service bus or federated ESB. So it's the loose collection of enterprise service bus products with the necessary infrastructure to make, to give consistent security, service management, and policy management. So moving on to slide seven, and this slide is actually from the website, Enterprise Service Bus Message Broker folks. They put this one together. And really the message they're putting across here is that TFIM is the preferred way to actually deliver this way of decoupling identity from the applications. This is really the piece that's going to augment what the bus does to actually fix identity as things flow through the bus. So rather than going and coding the identity logic in each of our three enterprise service bus offerings, IBM's chosen to use actually a service that TFIM provides that the enterprise service bus can call out to. So this gives it, you know, fairly good flexibility in terms of helping to deliver the value to the business from around the business processes they're trying to deliver. It also gives a few extra security-related benefits in terms of separation of duty, where, you know, secure administrators are able to make changes, you know, out independent of the developers who actually code the implementation logic that enforce those decisions. And of course, we want to be able to increase. It gives us a bit more opportunity for audit, and also gives us an opportunity to access control on the enterprise service bus. So in the web world, where web seals are able to do some coarse-grained access control as things pass through the proxy, the combination of the enterprise service bus and TFIM allows us to do access control as things pass through the enterprise service bus at that coarse-grained level. So moving on to slide eight, a couple of recent customer examples. European Central Bank, they were looking to connect applications. These guys were kind of pre-SOA. These guys are not yet using the Enterprise Service Bus, but we're still able to use TFIM to help them connect applications across WebSphere, Microsoft, and mainframe-based domains. So these first four I've been involved with quite recently this year, and they all went to POC. They've all been successful, excuse me, and they're all and varying levels of, get preparing for deployment. And we're hoping to turn at least a couple of them into references. The next one, the European Government Department, was more a classic use case. We have Enterprise Service Bus and WebSphere Process Server, which is really a higher level of business process that sits on top of Enterprise Service Bus. So just think of it as a superset of, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. So here, any of those two products, then TFIM can interoperate with them. And for this government department, we're actually connecting applications between WebSphere and, Microsoft-based domains. And you start to see a bit of a pattern forming, right, as to where the low-hanging fruit seems to be. Look at the European Insurance Company. Again, we see, a couple of the IBM Enterprise Service Bus offerings. We see WebSphere, Microsoft, and mainframe-based domains that people are trying to connect together. And that seems to be a fairly common architecture we're seeing with a lot of Microsoft-based presentation layer, the pieces that interact with the users, WebSphere in the middle doing a lot of the business logic and routing, and then some older mainframe applications that, they used to drive the business and have been driving the business for the last 20 years, and they want to be able to connect to those more flexibly. And then finally, we'd love to look at the next one, South American Telecommunications Company. They're looking to use a WebSphere Message Broker, which is yet another IBM Enterprise Service Bus offering, data power, and mainframe-based architecture. So these are very similar in terms of scope. The U.S. Transport Services Company example there was interesting in that these people are more interested in access control than they were in identity. They said in their initial SOA deployment, initial deployment of WebSIM Message Broker, they had something like 250, I think it was, or maybe more applications they want to be able to connect to the bus, and they're all sharing the same domain. They're all in the same domain. But they wanted to be able to add coarse-grained access control, that web seal type functionality, to web service requests as they pass through the bus, as they pass through Message Broker. So TFM, in conjunction with the TAM that the customer already owned, was able to provide that access control, again, transparently to the applications. And finally, the Australian Government Department example there, again, another Message Broker. And in that case, they're looking to flow identity from Portal and Siebel into mainframe-based application. So it gives you a bit of a picture of, you know, some of the early adopters in this space we're seeing. It's fair to say that we're still in a, you know, evangelism mode, but, you know, these, the ones that I've worked with, the top four, worked with this year, the customers have all been, you know, all went to PSC, the customers have all been very happy with what they saw. And, you know, there's really no competition in there from Oracle or anyone else trying to beat us out here. So they've been fairly fairly successful, enjoyable things to work on. So have a look at slide 9. I mentioned earlier that, you know, more than 60% of the solar projects are actually driven by line of business. So the key takeaway here is to not focus too tightly on security or operations people. I joke with some people and say that if, you know, the person I'm talking to knows what TIM is, they'll need to move on because I'm obviously talking to the wrong person. And especially if I even had one salesman say to me once, you know, I can't get my customer to talk about FIM because they're too busy deploying TIM. Right? So they're obviously in the wrong area of the business looking for TFIM opportunities. And, of course, what we're really looking for is people with some sort of application architect, enterprise architect, SOA architect, maybe the first application project using the enterprise service bus, you know, be it Message Broker or WebCSB. So, you know, really looking at where those products are being used in a company, who's trying to use them with application logic. And, of course, the gatekeepers to that are the IBM account teams. So it's key here that we try to leverage some of the knowledge that these people have of that space and try to do some co-selling or at least understanding of the customer from the WebCSB, Message Broker, Process Server, and maybe even the Data Power sales teams. And some larger accounts will also see SOA specialists, salespeople as well, and they'll have a pretty good understanding of what's going on with the customer. And the reality is that TFM does provide real value, right, in helping its customers. So once in those earlier examples, once the customer understood what we were providing and be able to see it in the POC, they, you know, they were more than happy with it, what we were offering. So, you know, it's not like we've got a, you know, a marketing level value here. We've got some real value that we're actually providing to the architecture and to the solutions. Excuse me, going to slide 10. Just some ideas, you know, about some of the topics to talk to the IBM account teams. You know, obviously trying to find out what's going on inside the customer, maybe looking for some of the low-hanging fruit around WebSphere, Microsoft mainframe-based connectivity, you know, possibly and probably more likely through one of the IBM Enterprise Service Bus products. A key thing that about TFIM is that TFIM has many faces, and there's a lot in the box. So TFIM has the whole browser-based single sign-on, has the whole TAM inside it. And, you know, so TFIM's got a reputation in the market, especially outside Tivoli, of being large and complex. Its reputation is that it works, it's just that it's large and complex. Excuse me. So to help combat this, the product teams have put together I think they call it a pre-approved discount with delegation of geo prices. Basically, it's a way to sell TFIM with a restricted license where there's no entitlement for the browser-based single sign-on, there's no entitlement for the TAM, so it's only the SOA pieces of TFIM, you know, for this federated ESB use cases. And you can, they can buy it for about $75,000 US for two processors. So obviously that maps a little differently to, you know, each country. But that gives you a feel that it's fairly cost-effective. and that's about half of what it would take if someone was trying to misuse data power to do a similar part of the use case. Data power has an important role in the architecture, and so does TFIM. In some cases, we see data power, at least in the US, people trying to misuse data power to do some of what TFIM can do, and if they're going to do that, then under this model, they're paying at least twice as much as they should be. And also, they can't discount hardware like they can software. And finally, if you've run into some customers where they say, you know, I'm really just not ready for SOA, or the account team say, you know, my customer's just not at SOA, they don't get it. These guys are still trying to glue a portal together. Then really a lot of the same issues around cross-domain and trying to get identity to flow through those domains, you know, are all going to be there. The same business drivers that are driving SOA are going to be driving that portal integration project. And TFIM has a lot of value to offer there as well. So don't just walk away if someone's saying, we're not in the SOA, let's walk away. You can kind of re-slant it towards more the portal integration side. Excuse me. And, of course, then you're going to have similar discussions once you can actually get in front of the customer, trying to understand how they're going to get identity to connect between these domains and looking for those low-hanging fruit where possible. So then moving on to slide 11. Oh, before I go, I've got to put the tip at the bottom. So when you press there on slide 10, you'll see the little tip at the bottom. It really says, get in there early and focus on connectivity within the enterprise. Right, will help position data pair appropriately. So a lot of the early web service type use cases that salespeople chasing were more the TAM type use cases, the extranet, you know, dealing with partners. But really the use cases we're looking here for and where the real value, you know, there's a lot of value within the enterprise, trying to connect domains within the enterprise. And the key is to get in early. And then that helps everything fall out and data power sits in the right places in the architecture, TFIM sits in the right place in the architecture, and we don't have, you know, data power solving world peace, at least claiming to. Excuse me. So moving on to slide 11, a couple of the objections we've seen in the field. Seen this one early on. I haven't seen this one for a little while. Customer says, you know, they don't want to address security in their SOA pilot. They're trying to ignore security. Actually, I did see this just the other day. Now think of it. And, you know, the response really is, that's great, and I understand that you don't want to have XML firewalls and encryption and, you know, digital signing and all the other stuff. But really, if they've got more than one domain in their enterprise and they're going to try to glue them together in the pilot, they've got an identity issue that needs to be solved. And TFIM is the way to solve that. You know, we get the thing in the US, the second one, DataPad does it all, and really we just need to help, you know, in a nice positive way, position data power and its right role in the architecture, either being as a XML firewall or possibly as a, you know, a branch level enterprise service bus, you know, for something like bank branches or something. The next one then, the TFIM is too expensive and they need most of the functionality. That one's a real objection I've seen quite a bit, especially that one's probably even a lot from IBM account teams. So I said TFIM is a big product in its normal state. And it's, you know, looks really complex. It does many things. And for customers who have all those use cases, it's perfect. Excuse me, you'll have a lot more opportunities to sell TFIM this limited license component. And that's for two processes. So a lot of times people are going to need four, and you're going to sell this a few times, and they're going to upgrade. So, you know, but it's a great entry point to get in with a lot less risk. And I think you'll see a lot less pushback from the WebSphere sales teams in that. We're only coming in at a lower price point. And also then we don't have to deal with the concept of what is the user and SOA. Because with various identity mapping and mapping to roles and stuff, it can actually get quite difficult to work out what a user really is. And finally, you know, the one that we deal with identity applications, then, you know, there's a lot of use cases in SOA around dynamic routing and the enterprise service bus and being able to replace services, you know, in a fairly responsive way to the needs of the business. And, you know, they're just not going to deliver that flexibility to the business if they're going to start trying to recode this every time in their applications, as well as the normal, you know, cost savings and time savings and using middleware rather than coding and testing and maintaining it all yourself. So finally, moving on to slide 12, and, you know, where do you start? What do you do next? One of the things, there's sort of three strands, right? The first thing is we really need to get out there and educate our WebSphere and SOA sales teams, SWEDAs, SEDAs. They, you know, we're starting to work with various teams around the world to get this message out, but at the moment, we're one of the best-kept secrets, right? TFM is one of the best-kept secrets in terms of the value it can actually provide in this part of the Federated Single Sign-On. Sorry, everyone understands the Federated Single Sign-On value, but this kind of SOA side of it is one of the best-kept secrets in the industry. So my suggestion is to really work with your SEs to get that technical overview message out to the various levels of architects in the IBM account teams. And then also, you know, try to understand your customers, where each of the customers are with SOA strategy and projects. You know, I've heard some people listed in the US say, I've only got a few customers and they're all busy deploying TM and stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in these large companies in the application space. And this allows us to go into that space and sell to a different set of people inside the same customer. And again, you know, for the message to really resonate, I think the role of our sales team is to help, you know, set up the structure so we can get that technical message to the right architect-level people. And to help make yourself a little more credible in this space, there's a SOA Primer enablement session we did as part of the kickoff this year that was recorded. Sandy Carter, yes, that's the marketing Sandy Carter. She, so it's not a very hard book, right, that she's written. The first few chapters of that, obviously, she wrote, and then in the middle, I think someone else, Ghost, wrote at least that piece because it gets a little more technical. But the first few chapters of the book help introduce some of the buzzwords, some of the high-level concepts. And finally, so does the Understanding SOA of Security Red Book, introduce some of the high-level concepts just so you can, you know, feel a bit more comfortable with it and just have a high level what understand what people are trying to do. And, you know, any investment you do in terms of understanding some of this terminology a bit better, understanding where your customer's at with SOA, you know, getting in touch with these other parts of the IBM sales force related to SOA is not going to just do you some benefits in terms of TFM, but, you know, Tivoli Security Policy Management is the SOA Geeks product, right? It's more firmly inside SOA than TFM, because at least TFM has the browser-based single sign-on piece as well, which kind of, you know, different use cases. But in terms of investment and, you know, learning how we can deliver and sell SOA-related projects is going to benefit us for both TFM and TSPM later this year. And that's about it. So if you have any questions, I think John wants you to same time them to him, and then he can obviously decide which ones he wants to ask and ask me the curly ones himself he has lined up.
Well, first of all, Ray, thanks very much. I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning in Boulder, so again, once, I appreciate your help here. I found that very interesting, sadly, because I used to sell MQ and MQ Series Integrator many, many years ago, so it sort of resonated with me. So, however, I think the message for our guys from a sales perspective is that this is low-hanging fruit from my perspective, because we have lots of customers who've gone out there, invested millions of dollars in MQ, MQ Series Integrator. They're all called new stuff now, and I've lost touch with what they're called now. But the point is, the old enterprise service bus, the whole hub and spoke architecture, this is terminology that's been around in the IBM sites for many, many years now. So these people will be ready for this sort of message. What I'm quite impressed by, and I'm sure it brings its own problems, is the fact that we seem to have a mature product here with single sign-on, good solid GUI, and we all know that that's pretty tough to get a mature product in our portfolio at the present time. So it sounds like it's a good platform. It's taking us in partnership, and this is an important point, in partnership with our WebSphere colleagues. So they may have done all the groundwork here already. Now, that presents its own challenges, working with our guys, obviously, getting our share of the pus. But the point is, we've got a good, solid message here, and I think we should be looking to develop these opportunities as quickly as possible. So, first of all, get with your WebSphere colleagues. Let's understand who has established the traditional hub-and-spoke architecture with MQ. They may be developing an SOA strategy, but it may be in its infancy. But the point is, this basically starts to manage the federated interlock between different environments, different service buses, and that's very strong. Barry from Melbourne in Australia says he's got a question. How does the 75K starter package work?
Okay, so what I believe, and this is something I've asked, I'll re-ask Ravi, the product manager, to reissue something on this. What it is, it's a pre-approved discount. So the customer gets the full set of CDs at the moment. We're trying to fix that. But at the moment, the customer gets the full set of CDs, but the restricted license would say, thou shalt not use the browser-based single sign-on or the Tivoli Access Manager pieces on these products. So it's all paper-based enforcement.
Okay, so...
And it's a processor-based, you know, there's the rules about what a processor means and what size it is. But it's basically a two-processor, unlimited uses for any of the use cases I just spoke about.
So, another question from Marcus in Germany. Do we have any sort of quick start services or proof of technology, proof of concept services established for the technical community and the sales community to take to customers?
We're working on that at the moment. We have spent some time doing some participation in IBM-wide POTs, but because they're IBM-wide, we're a piece of it, but at least we're part of the official story in those.
Sure.
So we've done two or three of those now because they get rolled out to customers and suites. I'm working with a couple of people, one in the, you know, like Ryan in the US and Giancarlo in the Southwest, and we're actually going to look at building a demo in POT, and then from that be able to also, where services people can harvest some of the intellectual capital as well. But enabling services, that we're still, this is still, you know, going to be scrambling each one until we can, you know, build that capability.
All right, so I think that's a no and a no.
it's a watch this space and a no, and we'll make it work like we have all the other accounts. So,
right.
You know, between myself and the lab and the other TFIM people around the world.
No, listen, Pat, I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I appreciate that. We've had some successful engagements with customers. I'm guessing we've done proof of technology type work with customers. Have we done a standard document where we've outlined a success criteria, a time boxed activity, that sort of stuff?
I haven't seen such document, but one could be put together. And
yeah,
someone
no,
such as someone who's been involved in a few of them, the UK team and Giancarlo would be the places to go to help get the material for that.
Okay, no problem. Paul, are you on the line? Paul, sorry, I know you're on the line, Paul. Sorry, Paul, could you make sure we take a note of that so that we go very, very quickly and put a proof of technology type document together for the team that just sort of enshrines an opening story for the customer, so we can sit down and discuss roles, responsibilities, timescales, success criteria, and a time box, say, two-day exercise. Now, that might be nonsense, but the point is, let's understand what is doable, what's not doable, so we very quickly roll something out to the team with some collateral with race support.
Yeah.
All right, thanks very much, Ray. Any other questions, anyone? Yeah, Marcus has got a question. In terms of service-oriented architecture projects, Ray, centrally within your group, do you have any line of sight on service-oriented architecture projects?
You mean across customers or...?
Across the globe, quite frankly. I'll tell you why we're asking. I think we need a fast start on this, and to get a fast start, we need to get with our WebSphere buddies. And if you have a list of emerging opportunities at your end, that would be helpful. If not, we'll have to go and do the spade work locally.
Yeah, at the moment it's locally. It's been rather difficult to get some lists out of the WebSphere sales teams in that space.
We're still working on it, but it is rather difficult locally.
Yeah, locally,
questions, guys?
Locally, people have had a lot more success than us trying to go through the central, you know, management layers.
No, that's fine. We'll just go and do some scops fishing and some seabull fishing, and that will pop up the opportunities.
Right. And just understanding, you know, some of the key customers, even some of your TAM customers, trying to understand what's going on in the application side of the business will, you know, often, you know, you'll identify opportunities there.
What level of crossover, do you understand the word crossover between TIM and TAM and this technology? Do they contradict each other, or do they interlock quite tightly architecturally?
Okay, they're really independent. They can be put together to form a solution. The key difference between FIM and the other products in the portfolio is that FIM is runtime. FIM is not a management product. FIM is all about transactional runtime. It actually works in the mainline flow. So if you turned off TIM or TSIM or, you know, TSOM, then everything still runs in the company. You just can't monitor some stuff. Maybe you can't add some users. If TSIM stops...
That's sort of rules-based transformation.
Sorry?
The rules-based transformation in the hub.
Who asked that?
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm asking really silly questions here because, again, I don't know what I'm talking about. But, for example, TAM-EB is application-centric. How does this overlap with TAM-EB?
TAM-EB does two things. TAM-EB does web-based single sign-on for within a domain, and mm-hmm. TFIM can extend that to cross-domain.
All right. So this complements TAM-EB.
Yeah, in that way. TFIM for SOA, what we talked about today, for the access control piece, FIM can interface with TAM out of the box, but if the customer has an integrity or their own proprietary access control system, TFIM can readily integrate with that as well.
So most of the customers I've come across in the past don't live within entirely within an MQ world. They have a Microsoft bus, and they typically have other stuff out there. So TAM-EB for single domain type application support is fine, but for big international customers, this is just like a must.
Well, TAM is pretty well focused on browser based. So if we're talking about transactional web service based, TAM really has got nothing much to offer except maybe doing access control decisions for FIM.
Marvelous. I've learned something already. Okay, guys. I think we've run out of questions. I'm not getting any more same time. So, Ray, I want to say thank you very much. Again, I appreciate it. It's 2 o'clock in the morning in Colorado. So, once again, thank you. Team out there, if you have any further questions, same time me or your respective leaders in your geos, and let's go on the blower. First of all, I suggest call your WebSphere colleagues, guys, or get onto Siebel and have a look at how many WebSphere opportunities there are out there. In the UK, get on CAT, find out what your WebSphere colleagues are doing, what they're talking to, who they're talking to, and very quickly build up a profile of, say, the top 5, top 10 customers who've deployed MQ, may have MQ Series Integrator, or used to be called that, but very quickly get an idea who's basically doing what, and get on the blower and make some calls. So, once again, thank you for being on the call, ladies and gentlemen, and good luck with your prospecting today. Thank you.
And once again, that does conclude today's conference. We do thank everyone for their participation. Have a wonderful day.